Do your hair, Cynthia.
What are you gonna do? Spaz to it up. Spaz to it down. Spaz to it out. Spaz to it round and round and round.
Do your hair, Cynthia.
Spaz to it.
Add some body.
Spaz to it.
Take control.
Spaz to it.
Sweet and innocent. Brush it clean away.
It's a scraz, dude. It is March 1988. A pre-Axl Rose Stephanie Seymour is on the cover of Vogue. Canadian spends the month closing a takeover of Bloomingdale's, and your mom, Barbara, thinks it's time to retire your Cabbage Patch Kids slippers. But you don't care about all that because it's time to figure out what to wear to what may or may not be a date with Dennis from Second Period History to see Beetlejuice tomorrow. Bold plaids? Denim on destroyed denim? You're going to need some help, so it's time to open up this new magazine and see what's what in the world of teen fashion. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy.
And here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Pamela Ribbon.
Okay, spraz do. Just before we do anything else. I was listening to that, like, is this for a body spray? Oh, no, it's a cologne. Oh, no, it's on your hair?
Yeah.
It's a hairspray.
Yeah, Australians love to abbreviate things with as at the end, like Barry becomes Baz, etc.
Right.
So that makes sense to me.
Yes, Starbs. For Starbies. For Starbucks.
Do your hair, Cynthia. I don't know why it's so threatening.
The whole ad has sort of got this Mad Max kind of vibe to it.
Right.
Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
Do it. Yeah, I think the 80s were just, we were maybe just doing a lot of groaning, sexy. Like, we were really coming into our female orgasm awareness, right?
Oh, whoever did that ad wrote it definitely on cocaine. They yeah. probably still are.
I'm telling you, I never know when I'm talking to cocaine. I just don't know.
Let's talk about our fashion lives in March 1988. As I already said in a previous episode, at this time I was living in the comparatively ritzy south end of Regina. Hold for giggles. Oh, no.
You almost got a spit take.
Pam was mouthful of coffee. So I turned into a real shitty little label whore to try to compete with the other assholes in my class. But because a lot of chain stores did not have locations in Regina, that conferred a lot of status to brands that were like very middle of the road. Like even Gap was a big deal because we just didn't have Gap there. And you would have to go to Winnipeg or Edmonton to get to the Gap. Those are the closest ones, which were far. I mean, Dave knows.
I remember the Gap was an hour and a half away at one point, which is really funny to think about.
Yeah.
And people would drive to Toronto from Niagara to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right.
Here were the high status brands for me in March of 88. Benetton, which we'll discuss more later. Esprit, of course. Mm-hmm. Mex. Does anyone remember Mex?
Two X's.
With two X's. Yep. Sun Ice for your parka. Regina was too cold for anyone to try to front like they were too cool to wear really warm outerwear because you would die. So even that became a thing that you could like stunt with. And if you skied, you left your lift tickets on the zipper. That was another status thing.
Oh, yeah, sure. I remember that.
So dumb.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Ocean Pacific, yeah. OP. Big one. Roots and Beaver Canoe. They were like lower level because they were
what?
Canadian.
What? You had Beaver Canoe in Regina?
Yep.
No!
Beaver Canoe was the same company as Roots, right? That was like one of their offshoots. This is Canada. I don't know. People didn't know.
The Beaver Canoe is what the horse took to go down to the Red Light District.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you definitely get shit-faced at a Beaver Canoe.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was just another sweatshirt and sweatpant company.
You know, when you live with Beaver Canoe all your life, you don't really see anything wrong with it until Pam starts cracking up.
Really true.
Ride that Beaver Canoe. Wow. It's also, it's my problem.
What about the one that was like a big V with like a...
Oh, Vuarnet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a big one, too.
No, I'm talking about Beaver Canoe.
Sorry, I thought you were still talking about the American news.
Yeah, Warren A for sure. I forgot about that one.
My God.
Guys.
Yeah, I wish I was in a band called Beaver Canoe.
You could be.
And our first album would be called The Big V.
Au coton, big one too. Bass for your Ouijans and your saddle shoes and your penny loafers. And then Chucks were like at the attainable end of what your parents might buy you. And there was a brief vogue where if you could get your parents to do it, buy them in two different colors and then wear mismatched ones, like wear a red one on your left foot and a blue one on your right foot. That was what like cool boys would do.
Right.
All right, Pam, what was going on in your fashion life at this time?
My purse was definitely denim. And I think it might have been a like a saddlebag kind of messenger purse that was just mm-hmm. sort of flopped open because it would need to hold my Walkman.
Right.
Because I would listen to music. I would put my head on my purse and listen to music in class. Mm-hmm. My hair is probably in a skater flop at this point. I have two pairs of jeans in different colored acid washed denim, and I just alternate them. I have like the gray pair and the blue pair. Mm-hmm. I feel like I wore sweater vests over shirts. Like this mm-hmm. seems like that time.
Yep.
And I had kids. And to me, fashion was about my friend's handwriting. Mm-hmm. Like the style of my friend's handwriting, Tamara and Kenya, my best friends, their handwriting was so like loopy and like pretty mm-hmm. and fun. Like it had fun in it, mm-hmm. which to me was a style that, I mean, my handwriting, I would just try to change all the time to figure out what was my style in my handwriting, which seems nerdy, but to me that was fashion. That was your brand.
Yeah.
How your notes looked.
Yes, for sure. That rings true to me too. But I definitely experimented with doing A's that look like A in typing with like the little extraneous curl on top, which I didn't stick with.
Oh, or in like that time we would all just do esprit E's, making your notes take nine times longer.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So grown-up fashion magazines that I definitely owned this month, I had that Vogue with future sassy savior Kevin O'Coin, who we also talked about in a previous episode. He did the makeup for that cover of Vogue. In Fashion had Rob Lowe and Marley Matlin on the cover. This was a I think, short-lived, like, unisex fashion magazine. I also had 17, as we previously discussed. And Pam probably had this month's YM because Johnny Depp was on the cover with some redhead model. Mm-hmm. I didn't recognize.
That does sound familiar.
This episode is going to be all about the fashion topics, so there's going to be lots and lots of visual aids. Obviously, podcasting famously a visual medium, so please refer to the scans from the magazine that we have made available to you while we discuss the visuals therein.
That link is in your show notes.
Starting with the cover, photographed by Andrew Southam, starring a model named Lori, no last name, originally of Amarillo, Texas. And I got to tell you guys, don't love this cover. The clean and simple style of the next several issues, I think, is so distinctive and it makes such a strong statement. And considering how similar, like, all of the sassy covers are, starting from April 88 and really through, like, most of the next year, I feel like this premiere cover got overnoted by like all of the stakeholders behind the publishing company. And it really is one of the weakest, in my opinion.
You know, it does seem like she's not being sassy. She's kind of hiding. The pose in particular doesn't seem like the tone of this magazine. But mm-hmm. she is wearing a bandana. And I think it's important for Dave to do a bandana count for this fashion issue, if it's possible, if we can call them out. Because I feel like we might hit 30, but 30 to 50 bandanas. And I'm being on the low end. But yeah, it does seem like she's not necessarily being all that sassy, but she's clearly supposed to be hinting at I'm wearing my boyfriend's shirt the next day, which is why it's like, do you think you're ready for sex is over the boyfriend shirt? This is what my subliminal messaging is telling me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it is very thought out of where all of this is, and perhaps that's what you're noticing, is it is so thought out that it doesn't feel like one piece.
Her arm up, the arm intensive pose, makes this look catalog to me versus fashion. Mm. They get stronger from here.
So our first fashion feature is On the Boardwalk, photographed by Naomi Kaltman. Our model is Kristen. This is girls standing on a beach. Sometimes they're wet. It's mostly in blues and grays. There are floppy polka dot hats clutched to the chest. There's white Hanes tees under suspender dresses, thick socks, Keds, chunky blazers, belted shirt dresses. And this is probably the first time that I find out that clothes can cost $165. Like, I don't think I'd been in a store where that was an option up until now. Mm-hmm. On page 56, there's a girl freezing in a cardigan, hunched into her outfit so much that I just have to believe the description of the outfit because I can't tell what part is cardigan and where the flip skirt by Cherry Lane stops and the tights by Hugh begin. But this is where I learned about Hugh tights, which are the best tights ever. And they're still the best tights ever. You can buy a pair of Hugh and you can keep them for like 7 to 12 years.
True.
Easily. Mm-hmm. unless you wear them playing roller derby. I'm just going to keep talking about this spread. You interrupt me. I have thoughts.
Okay.
On page 57. There's another Esprit denim top, and this one is very close to my own Esprit denim jacket that I got on super clearance. It was a very big deal that I got this Esprit jacket, and I still like remembered it so much, the way that it like tapered everywhere. It tapered at the waist, it tapered at the cuffs, it tapered at the wrists. I don't know why Esprit was like, you are the letter, you're like small E. I don't know, like, what were they trying to do? But so I went and looked it up, and you can get it on Poshmark for $17 right now.
That's a good jacket. I remember that jacket very well, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a fashion spread that would have been appealing to 1988 me and is still appealing to 2021 me. It has lots of blue. That's a thing for me. Little white. Nothing that seems like it would be hard to pull off or get you mocked for trying too hard. So this is good. The blue gingham shirt dress would have been extremely my shit. Mm-hmm. At this time, especially until my boobs got too big for shirt dresses to be an option. Because when you got big boobs, you can't do that.
Right. Similarly, on page 55, the striped crop top with white sailor pants.
Yes.
That's not for butts and boobs. Mm-mm. Yeah. And her wire vintage glasses are the kind that get stuck in your hair if you put them on top of your head. They don't mention that.
No.
On page 53, that's that button trimmed skirt over a white cotton dress from Esprit. And that's a look I still try to pull off. Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie.
The boardwalk is great, especially if you don't want sand in your shoes.
Yeah, there is some copy. Who reads the copy? Dave, what is this story?
This is a very deep thought. First draft of something going on there.
All right, our second fashion feature is Tough Enough. Andrew Southam is back. He shot the cover. This is Tully walking through what seems to be an abandoned rail yard, looking tough. Love black, love a skinny pant, love a leather jacket in theory. This would have been too intimidating for me at the time. Even now, my eye kind of bounces off it because it's just like nothing about this is aspirational to me. Like, I like it as a fashion art piece. Yeah. None of this makes me want to shop these looks. It's just not my aesthetic. How about you, Pam?
Yeah, I wrote, this all looks like Paula Abdul to me.
Yeah, it does.
Various Paula Abdul videos, you could just hear it like straight up, like you could just put it on and then flip through this. Yeah, cool, tough chick. I never really imagined myself in it. Yeah. I also don't like the sound of leather when people are wearing it and it moves. Whatever the misophonia word is for leather movements, it's one of the creepiest sounds there is.
It's called slithering.
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 Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, you can kind of hear the death. You can hear the carcassing.
So our model is Tully. Her full name is Tully Jensen. Because she has an unusual name, I was able to look her up. She was married at some point to Antonio Sabato Jr. And she tried unsuccessfully to win him back on a VH1 reality show in 2009. Ooh. Oh, Tully. And she was out in like pretty early on, apparently. So yikes. But rather than end on that defeat, let's say she was also on the cover of British Vogue a few months after this photo shoot shot by her Brits. So good for her. That's a better credit.
Our third fashion feature is called Milk and Honey. It's photographed by Nick Vaccaro, and our model is Marnie. These are all good flats in this spread. Mm-hmm. If I'm continuing, my flats are for quitters. These are all cute with the socks. We have a model of color. She's got cool hair and a natural look. And they're reusing the Esprit skirt from the boardwalk shoot in this spread. And I really appreciate that.
Yep.
It's a lot of French Connection and antique boutique, which I had forgotten about. So many hats, hats with huge safety pins and slouchy socks, a long john with a crop top. I would not have worn any of this then, but I would wear most of this right now.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, again, also not a fashion story for me. I'm too pink. Pink in the face to wear beige, but that Esprit skirt with this with the text around the hem, Le Chateau had a knockoff version of it that I really wanted and my mom wouldn't buy it for me. It was like just right on the line of too expensive for her to justify it. Also, it was white and she probably thought, you're going to spill spaghetti sauce on it the first time you wear it. And she was right. I would have. Then or now, that's what would happen.
Somewhere just from you talking about it. Yes, somewhere just from you talking about it. That skirt just got a spaghetti sauce stain on it in a closet. Someone's going to come back and be like, damn it.
Yeah.
My skirt.
The photographer Nick Vaccaro seems to have transitioned into reviving old methods of photo printing now. And we'll link to his website because I think that's very cool. Mm-hmm. And also to Marnie Malinowski's Instagram because she's still out here getting photographed and looking fucking amazing. So good for her and good for us because we get to look at her pictures. What next is a one-page recurring feature where they talk about fashion trends, what's coming up, and they talk to various designers about their, you know, collections that have just shown. It's just a few highlights from this page. Isaiah talks about trapeze tops and matte jersey. I definitely had a trapeze top at this time. It was from Benetton. I bought it on super sale on a band trip that summer. And I still love that shape and matte jersey both. And this is what we see in the accompanying photo. It's like an orange situation worn with like a black mini skirt and sort of off the shoulder. And it's super cute.
I remember this outfit. I remember trying to recreate this outfit. Like the Keds are perfect. The knee-high socks. I would wear this tomorrow for sure. The little skirt and the jersey top are cute. And she's doing that pose. I think of this as a sassy pose. Speaking of like difference between this and the cover of like, I'm in my high socks and my feet are a little awkwardly crossed because whatever. It's just like it's like right before you giggle. Like, it's one shoulder up, arms crossed. I realize I think I just stand like this all the time. Yeah, I'm learning where I got it. Yeah,
she's
definitely.
She's naturally sassy.
She's just naturally sassy. She's just ready for whatever, you guys.
We also hear from Michael Kors, who forecasts giant jackets on women, and he was right. This was a silhouette well into the 90210 years, which did not premiere for like 2.5 more years after this. And so definitely that was a thing for a while. Big jackets, Levi's 501s, for sure.
But he says skirts are at their shortest yet. They're about to get long. I remember, you know, I just wanted the layers of this look. And for Christmas that year, my parents got me like long ankle length skirt and then a tunic top. And it was all in like aggy maroon. And when I put it on, it had a hood. And when I put it on, I looked like a druid.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're going to the Ren Fair.
Yes. I looked like I was being kept away, swollen with child until my curse was lifted.
More mead.
Yes. And I did get sort of Ren Fairy pretty soon after this. That was like probably the last time I ever put on a skirt for easily 15 or so years.
Yeah.
I was just not having it.
When you're this short, and Pam is also short, I mean, I can't speak for you, Pam, but like I could never do it because it just makes you shorter.
I can't do it. It looks like we're kidding. It looks like I look like a fry guy.
More fries, my liege.
Somehow the kids are even more insulting. Where they're like, oh, she shrank. I look like when E.T. comes out of the closet and Gertie is dressed him.
Yes!
That is what I look like whenever I try to do a maxi skirt.
Yeah. So then we also hear from Betsy Johnson.
That's a very puzzling quote in this one to me. Mixing old-fashioned romantic clothes with modern Mad Max fashions. What?
See, to me, that was just like florals and docks. And it was like, yeah, that's something that hung on for years, too.
What's modern about Mad Max fashions?
I think she just probably meant tough.
Okay. big talk from a lady. It looks like her stores are like a bag lady exploded in them. Well, and I use bag lady because I think that's the contemporary term for somebody.
Well, she went out of business, Dave, so you got your wish.
All right. But seriously, it looked like it. Like if you didn't know, it'd be like, oh, can you hang out here for a sec? I have to go buy some confetti from this confetti store called Betsy Johnson.
I love Betsy Johnson. I had a lot of it, like as much as I could find, you know, in a resale shop or whatever.
You guys need Stelly String because
you're going to get calls about this. People loved Betsy Johnson. All right.
Yes.
Look, my exposure to Betsy Johnson was the store or two in Toronto and maybe New York, and it looked terrible.
Yeah.
Like half of it was made out of bath poofs. Like it was terrible.
we wouldn't have Sex in the City like all of Sarah Jessica Parker's look. Respect, Dave.
All right.
She's why we can wear combat boots all the time. Okay. Do you find that Cyndi Lauper's aesthetic is too much for you too? She doesn't get your beaver canoe moving?
We gotta sit down with Pam and explain beaver canoe.
Oh, I think I got it. Cue the Bananarama for the Bandanarama spread. Our beauty feature number one. Our photographer is Grant Matthews, and our models are Kristen and Angelina. Poor Kristen and Angelina really have to wear a lot of bandanas.
Yeah.
In this. I'm wearing two right now to celebrate. Can you see? I have two on. Because this first look, they tie five bandanas together at the corners, does that make it a quilt? And then they say, tie a top section and then twist and knot them over each other. I just don't understand. They're wearing basically a poof of all the bandanas on top of their heads. These poor models just keep trying to look like, and it's fun, but I don't know how you do this without bobby pins. I don't know how this doesn't just fall right out of your head as soon as you step outside.
Some of them, when they describe how they do it, it seems like put in a lot of conditioner first. And then I think the hope is it dries and then they stick there, which may be true.
Oh, like so here on 64, that's the one that's clear. They actually explain it's her hair is pulled up. It's in a top knot. And then they take little bows and ribbons and bobby pin them into her head. And she just looks like drill team flashback time. It's like cheer camp hair.
Yeah.
And you just lose these all day, one by one.
they fall out. Yeah.
Yeah. They get caught in your pencil. Page 65, this one is the one you're talking about with the conditioner.
Yeah.
It says take handfuls of conditioner. Put it in your hair.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's wet or dry. And then wind like a yard of blue ribbon all around this hair.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and it dries. And the description and the picture look like if cats were hairstylists.
Yeah.
Just like, like Edward Whiskerhands, just like, like batting her head around and then leaving. It does not look like an actual style at all. It looks like when you let your kid do your hair. And they're like, it's pretty.
No, I will say the last one is the one that I might try where they say tie three bandanas together so you get one big scarf and basically turn them into a turban and then just pile your hair in the middle. And here's why. I have not had a haircut since March 6th. That will be the anniversary of my last haircut. And my hair is real thick. I can't just do a ponytail because my hair is so thick that when I did get haircuts, I would get an undercut all the way around, like basically from my eyebrows all the way around the back of my hair. And now it's so grown out, it can almost get in a ponytail, but not quite. So when I put my hair in a ponytail, there's just all these straggly bits and I look crazy.
Is that Betsy Johnson, they'll say?
Exactly. So that's why I've been doing, I can do pigtails, I can't do ponytails. Like, they're long that's enough to fit in a pigtail, but not a ponytail. So I think this bandana thing might work if I could do it low enough. All right, well, maybe I'll try some and report back. Our second B beauty feature is a beginner's guide to makeup. And I have to say, it's a shame. This is one of the issues that I did not have at the time because I needed it. It was the era of frosty blue eyeshadow, and I just kind of swept it on and called it a day and did not realize it was too much. That is also still pretty much my eyeshadow routine. The only difference is I wear pink, so it does not look too hoary, I hope. I did not wear makeup to school on the daily at this time, just for like special occasions. And it really was not until I started working in an office in my mid-20s that I started doing makeup regularly. And I just did the five-minute face as advocated by Carmen D from What Not to Wear. I still just do a variation of that. So I was interested to take a look at the guide and see if there were any hacks that I could add to my routine. But it turns out the rules for no makeup makeup really are the same in 1988 as they are in the 2000s. Like, this is still a good primer, I thought. Although, I think now liquid liner tech has come far enough that I would do that over a pencil. Pam, what did you think of this this guide?
First of all, I was not allowed to wear makeup yet. So at all. And next month will be the month I turn 13 and I get to wear makeup. And my mom takes me to Merle Norman, to the Merle Norman counter.
Whoa.
Sits me down and they get to make me up. And I come home with, I mean, paints, like thick paints that you paint on your face in like a triangle on your eye. And you, I mean, it's makeup for a woman in her 60s, like easily.
That foundation and all that. Like JonBenet.
Yeah, but all in browns. I remember it was all in like browns and grays because of my fair skin. Mm-hmm. And like even the lipstick was like a mauve, like a mauve, purpley, dark, deep. Nothing was appropriate for the age I was. And Clinique, now I'm remembering, you got to have, that was when you earned your Clinique.
Right.
In this, these pictures are hilarious because they humanized her in the copy. Like, she just wants to know how to wear makeup. And then in all the pictures, it's like, ugh, like she's just holding everything wrong and stuff's thrown on her face. Like,
right.
It's unfair. And then it also says, don't put mascara on your bottom lashes.
Yes.
Which I took to heart. But in the picture, she's clearly got mascara on her lower lashes. The first of not that many sassy lies, I'm sure. And I would have appreciated being told that loose powder is not for every skin type because I spent a lot of time putting that on my dry skin and going, what are these patches on my face of eczema?
No, it's true.
Yeah, I am still a not much makeup person, so my mom's trick worked. I'm not doing it now, but for all of the other times we've met, I've worn makeup for the Zoom.
Really?
I wear some eyeshadow or I wear some mascara and I put a little foundation under my eyes.
Aww.
Just because it's shadowy and Zoom is not forgiving. And I just like won't do a Google Hangout.
Clearly I have never bothered and have not today either.
It's early on a Saturday, but I think last week I did. I put on some like lipstick for you guys. This is it. This is my social life. That's why we're doing a podcast.
It's true.
Because I can't keep just talking to myself at night, walking room to room going, maybe I will have cereal. That's not a life.
About Face is a page of little items about basically makeup news, more or less.
It's a good name. I like that name.
Mm-hmm. First item is about bangs. I had been thinking about getting bangs again for about 2 years before the pandemic struck, and my feelings about that now is pretty much thank God I didn't, so I don't have to deal with them growing out on my own at home. These instructions seem pretty good for upkeep, but if anyone listening got so sick of their hair during quarantine that they cut brand new bangs on their own and are not hairstylists, please call us at 720-SASSY-GO and tell us how that went, because I really want to know. I would not be that bold, but I'm sure people did, so tell us about it.
The photo that accompanies this is one of the ones I'm talking about. She's like cutting her own hair or something like that, but mm-hmm. She looks like she's about to snap her own neck, movie mm-hmm. action hero style.
Well, but this is what she is in the pose of what it feels like to contemplate getting bangs. Like you spend more time thinking about getting bangs than having bangs. Should I get bangs? And you make your fake bangs. And the best Kimmy Schmidt line is when she's like, I think I'm going to get bangs and then just runs off to get bangs. I find this to be the most controversial part of the entire magazine. Like, at no point do they say PS is a bad idea. Like, it should start with this is a bad idea. But say you really want to and you won't get in trouble, and you also somehow have a professional haircutting scissor and not like your big orange, then you can try this, but you will hate it.
Why are they called bangs?
I have no idea.
Oh, I see.
That's why in England they're called fringe, which makes more sense.
It does make more sense. Yeah. Bang update.
Ah.
The term bangs originally referred to hair cut bang off, that is straight across at the front.
Oh.
It is probably related to bang tail, a term still used for the practice of cutting horses' tails straight across.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave. No problem. Starlog. Figured out bangs today.
Hair long and prosper would have been what you should have said there.
This is a little piece about how the people at Revlon have made a coral easy for you by doing one color called One Perfect Coral, and then they did everything in that color. I don't know why that's easier. But coral to me is a color that it's always like what's in style. People are like, coming up next, coral. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all wearing coral.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's like a buzzy, fashion-y word.
Yeah. It's like the pink that's not too pink. It's like grown-up pink, you know. When I buy coral nail polish, I always regret it because it feels like a very momish shade.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be a certain kind of young to not look old in it. Yeah. That's really astute.
All right. Next, disposable mascara. Cosmetics companies have such a push-pull between getting customers to rebuy frequently enough not to let the product get rancid and give them eye infections or whatever, and the inherent problem of packaging waste in cosmetics, because everything is small and everything is plastic, and selling mascara with four wands was obviously not the play, even in 1988, because it did not last, but they tried it.
It says it's safer because you only use one tiny wand at a time, and I'm very confused what the other way to use mascara is.
Yeah.
You put the mascara on the table and you just dip your head into it and hope it hits your
eyelashes. Both eyes at the same time, just eyes wide. I don't know.
Yeah,
it is very, this is a very wasteful way to sell more product with one thing.
Next, the Guerlain meteorite powder pebbles. I remember what a thing these were when they first came out. The story in the magazine is about Guerlain not being able to keep up with demand, and I believe it. It's a great idea for keeping the skin finish from looking too uniform and mask-like. The idea is it's like a little pot of different shades of like pebbles, and you just brush your brush over them, and so you don't get the same, you don't get a uniform.
I understand.
Color on it. It's
no,
sort of-
I don't. She could talk some more. I thought you maybe broke them open and then spread it on your face. They stay stones.
It's like when you color somebody's face with pencil crayons and you have to use colors like green and stuff for their flesh because that's how nature works.
For pigment.
Yeah. So I imagine it's sort of the same thing. It just keeps it from being too uniform and unnatural if you just like slather your face with flesh colored.
Exactly.
Something.
So it makes it so your skin is not so mask-like because the colors, there's different variation in the color. The idea has been knocked off by other companies since. You can get pressed powder that's a similar sort of thing. But I was still surprised to find out they're still making it. And also, it's only available in three shades and they're all very peachy. So this is not a shade-inclusive product. So come on, guys.
I remember seeing this next one on TV, the commercials for it, and not understanding at all
I've never
what
done
it was
it.
For. So please, and I'm still not quite sure. So please, Pam, explain.
Great. Dave is talking about the ubiquitous Alberto VO5 hot oil treatment commercial where you would watch a woman take a tube and put it in a glass of hot water, walk away, and then have great hair.
Like she's making the world's worst cocktail or something.
Yes, I can see where you would be confused as a young person going, when does she come back for that?
Yeah.
But I will tell you, it did have that kind of mystery and mystique. And then you would use it, you would heat it up, you put it in your hair. It was very greasy and you were very disappointed. It was not great.
So the idea is, like, at this time, people did a lot of stuff to their hair to style it that would damage it and give you, like, really dry split ends. And this was supposed to, the theory was.
Split ends. The split scourge ends. Of
yes.
80s hair.
So this was supposed to restore moisture to your hair, which is all dead anyway. So it's like all of this is, you know, probably not real. But yeah, I've never done one in my whole life. I definitely did masks and all that bullshit, but I never did this thing to my hair.
You should do it now and then see how long you can keep a bandana in your hair before it just slides right out.
Yeah, all right.
And now we have Body Talk, where Sassy gets real with you about health facts, and it starts with...
Can I interrupt you and do a dramatic reading of how I interpreted this as I read it?
Please.
And it has to do with how they typeset it, all right? So here's the first article.
Okay.
You know, you want to pump some weights, but you don't want to get too bulked up. So here, just do lots of repetition, start small and go fed. And don't forget about gonorrhea! Gonorrhea, gonorrhea, gonorrhea. It's supposed to be a separate thing, but it's just the same typeset in all caps. So it just looks like suddenly they're shouting at you out of the blue about gonorrhea.
You just woke up, Murray, with your gonorrhea yelling.
Sorry, Murray. Anyways, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's like you bulked up your eyes, and now you can really read about gonorrhea. I feel like we're done with this section, Dave, but this is really all you need to know. But it does do this thing that back then, and maybe a little bit now, where it's like, oh, I don't want to bulk up, so I can't lift weights, which is not true. And you don't even need light weights to have, if you want Michelle Obama arms, and who doesn't, you need to lift some weights in your life. It's important.
I think we should pinpoint 6 or 7 diseases, maladies, and rename them with the suffix rhea, because there's nothing like a rhea to make me like, oh God, please no.
Diabetes, no.
Yeah.
Sugarrhea, yes.
Sugarrhea, yes, exactly. Oh, I don't want sugarrhea. Right?
How many rheas do you know off the top of your head?
Well, there's diarrhea, there's gonorrhea, there's rhea Perlman.
Perlman, comma, Rhea. It's very disrespectful. She's a treasure.
There's also a big screamy thing here in Dave font that says, you can fail. And actually, it sounds like me reading it. This is what my brain would hear in this voice as I read it. You can fail a urine test for marijuana just by being in a room full of pot smokers for an hour. Every word of that is funny to me now. Every word of it was definitely terrifying to me then. What are you doing in a room full of how much pot smoking? How many pot? How much pot is being smoked in the room you're in? How big is the room?
How many poppy seed bagels did you eat?
Yes! Yes.
And then finally, we have a little item about NutraSweet. Remember NutraSweet from when you were a kid?
Yep.
The artificial sweetener, the beginning of the end for poor old NutraSweet. Started getting bad press, people mentioning, you know, cancer and other stuff. But at this point, it's just eating a lot of things with NutraSweet just makes you crave other things that are sweet. It's not actually good for your diet for this reason, because, you know, it spikes your cravings even if you're not eating sugar. And
because they put an addictive chemical in it that makes you crave it fortnightly. So then we have Then and Now. We have a makeup makeover, again, pushing for less is more. They have this poor girl where they're like, they just kind of rag on her hair and her face, and they call her Tammy Faye Baker, and they're just like, we get all the goop off her ugly head.
They're so mean. They're so mean. They neg this girl through this copy so much. It's really excessive.
It's like, too much. I don't like it.
No.
And then, and then they give her, you know, casual makeup, but her hair is so pretty, and they do not talk about how they did her hair at all, which makes me furious, because I would like to know how to do that side part, that not like way high side part in those beachy waves she's got. And I do think there's a bandana twisted in there, so add it to the bandana count.
Okay,
there might be two, but you definitely see one in the bokeh.
The other thing about how mean they are in the copy to her is that when you shit on her before look this hard, she's just going to go back to it out of defensiveness. Like, even in her after pick, she does not look totally convinced that this flat hair is better. And notably, nowhere in the copy do they say, and at least thought she looked better, too. Like, they don't ask her what she thinks of it at all. They don't say.
So, yeah. They like, drop her right out.
Yeah. It's just very funny.
The last thing that they add to her face is some Carmex on a lip pencil.
Yeah.
And it brought back so many Carmex urban legends that you could get addicted to it. And then I put in the show notes a list of all of them from the cut from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have that? Did this reach you? Did you know about Carmex Urban Legends?
It wasn't about Carmex specifically, but it was about lip balm, where it was like, if you use it, they make it so that you have to keep using it so you buy more. It's like,
mm-hmm.
But I also heard that about tampons. Like,
what?
They make it so you have to change them more, where it's like the toxics, that when they, all the inserts about toxic shock syndrome were like, you don't have to change them that much. They just put that in there so that you use more of them.
What? That's a dangerous urban legend.
Eh.
What? Wait.
I mean, yeah, when you're a teenager, you probably should change your tampon every 6 hours. But, you know, no one's getting up in the middle of the night to change it, I'm saying.
I do.
All right.
You are not still afraid of toxic shock syndrome?
No.
What?
No,
would you
I'm
be
not.
Afraid of it if it was called toxic shock syndromia?
Nah.
What if it was called beaver canuria?
I would say, you know, change your tampon or get a Diva cup. Just maybe you should get a Diva cup and then you don't have to worry as much because you
listen,
let that.
It's not going to be an issue pretty soon, I'm pretty sure. So.
Oh, boy. I'm nervous. If anybody, young people, just get your Diva cup. For a second, you're like, ew. And then you're like, this is good. This was a good idea.
All right, let's talk about some of the ads that were noteworthy since we're talking about fashion.
Yeah, page 2 and 3, I opened this and was like, oh, I remember this ad.
Mm-hmm.
The most unforgettable women in the world.
Yep.
And that little pouty girl
yep.
looking at me. This was an ad that made me feel really ugly.
Yeah. And her name was Tara, so I remember her too. Tara Ambrosio.
These beautiful curly-haired sirens.
Yeah, they're styled in a very Greek goddessy kind of a way, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. cascades of golden hair.
They're all the same shade of skin and hair and eyes. It's creepy. I think that's why I remember, like, if you look at it now, the little tiny Tara's hair is teased up so high.
Yeah.
That she does look like, if you don't know she's in a makeup ad, she looks like the killer in a movie.
Why does she need makeup? She's 6. Like, why is she even here?
Maybe it's to show, like, they look like little babies. Their skin's so nice.
Right.
I don't know.
All right. On page 26, we have an ad for Sunset Blues. This is a denim brand. And this girl, she's in these paper bag jeans. This waist is such a moment in time. And they're hiked up, like, swear to God, like halfway to her rib cage yeah. with a belt. This is not a trend that lasted, but it really had its moment. And I remember it. Seeing it brought it back to me.
Oh, yeah. I have irritation between my legs just looking at the way that she's standing in these pants. Like, it's so up in there, her denim. It is a toxic shock. Just look at this photo.
So then we have several pages of Benetton ads, including mm-hmm. the reveal of the first Benetton cologne, Colors de Benetton. And I know, Pam, you have thoughts on this one. This was a Proustian Madeleine for you.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Oh, do you want to talk about the other things? I'll finish with the Madeleine. I'll finish with it.
All right. Well, so Benetton, at this point, had not really gone, like, totally off the edge with their shockvertising campaigns, where it would just be, like, they started kind of slow, where it would just be, like, a close-up of two hands cuffed together, and, like, one was black and one was white. Think about it. And then later it would be, like, you know, just the torso of a black woman nursing a white baby. And then it just got crazier and crazier and crazier to where there was like world leaders kissing. And it's like, what point is being made here? And how is this selling clothes until they finally like fired the guy that was their creative director? But at this point in history, it was the United Superstars of Benetton. And so they would do these two parade spreads where they were like supposed to be figures from history hanging out in clothes that were vaguely Benetton-y. So we have like Joan of Arc and a kind of Marilyn Monroe-y looking person, someone who kind of looks like Cleopatra and someone who kind of looks like Mao, I guess. Uh-huh. Hard to say.
I don't think it's hard to say. Yeah. Pretty obvious.
But at the head of it is an ad for the cologne that's about to come out or has just come out. These ads I thought were pretty cool looking. They don't really showcase the clothes so much. They do sell the brand identity, and they're better than where they went in later years when they got totally insane.
So Colors de Benetton, you could buy for $30. They were exclusive at the stores, or you could call this toll-free number, but they didn't take COD. Look it up, kids. And they had a parfum, a spray, a cologne, and a shower gel. And in these magazines, there was the little tester insert, and I would cut these out. I loved the smell of this so much, but never really had the money to buy it. And also needed a ride to Benetton because it was only at the mall, and because I couldn't COD, I didn't have a check. So I'd save them in this jar and I would use them, and I'd rub them on my wrists on a special occasion, or like if I was going to a dance or something. When we first started talking, Tara and I back and forth about this issue in this podcast, I went off on like Colors, like immediately I remembered so many things at once, and you were like, yeah, I think I had Colors, right?
Yeah, I had it. I got it that Christmas. It was like a precious Christmas present. It was my first grown-up cologne that I ever had. Mm-hmm. I treasured it.
You can relive it because the insert still smells.
Well, it's still here, and it's this blow-in is not even opened yet, so I thought I would open it on air.
You don't even need to open it. You can just smell it. You can smell it.
Mine does not smell in this issue.
It does. He's does right. It? It does still smell. I didn't even open it.
Well, you'll
it.
Have to mail that one to me for my jar. But right. In the meantime, I got you guys a present. I got you guys some Colors. It came here from Russia. I got the female one and the male one. I wanted to make sure they were here before, like that they were real before I sent them to you. So they're vintage.
Oh my God.
I also got one for myself, and I will wait until we're all together and we can Colors up.
Colors.
See that.
Colors.
Colors. Colors.
Colors.
Colors. Colors. Colors. Yes. I'm so excited. I'm just going to put them right back in the box. And
wow.
I just,
that's precious.
They're coming from Russia with love and from Los Angeles to you.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. Fried eggs, rusty cars, salt and sand, noise, laughter, silence. If you like your ads like that, and I know it's not plug time, you will love Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights, which I just read. And you can get the audio version, and it does not disappoint. Every page a winner. Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights. But this is an ad for Levi's. You turn the page after that little poem that Matthew wrote for us before he knew it. And there's all these pictures of chicks in Levi's. You can't really see many pairs of jeans, honestly. It's mostly chicks. And silence.
Got exciting news for you guys. On page 40, free tampons to be had. Send away for a sample.
And I'm good.
You have to address it to Mrs. Carol Platenick.
Dave, how did you not?
At Registered Nurse, Tam Brands, Inc., Box 201, Palmer, Massachusetts, 01069, on the tampon. I'm sure you're going to remember this. This is a ballerina. Everybody is lined up at the bar, shadowed, except the girl that we're focused on, who's looking behind her, not quite sure, because she doesn't want to lift her leg, because then, quote, everyone will know I'm wearing a pad, exclamation point. And then it's this fake letter from her being so embarrassed because she got her period right before their first ballet class. She asked her friend Kristen if she could see the pad under her leotard. She said, not really, but I knew it was showing. And so later, Kristen asked her, why didn't she use tampons? And she told her she just hadn't tried them and admitted that she was scared to. And Kristen said that's how she used to feel. And then her mom bought her tampons for beginners, Pedal Soft Tampax tampons. They're really slender and the plastic applicator has a rounded tip to make it easy to get in. So then she tried them the next month. And at first she was nervous, but then she read the directions and they worked really well. You change them every 6 hours. And now she knows with Pedal Soft tampons, she would never have to worry about her pads being seen again. And there are all these tampon pad things throughout this issue of Sassy. And it really was like that. It was the terror of pads versus the nightmare of tampons. So would you rather, it was just a would you rather of shame versus pain all right. the time.
It's true.
When it came to your menstrual cycle.
Yep.
I was an early user. Well, so the first time I got my period, this is where we're going. Dave, this is a two-part episode. The first time I got my period when I was, it was really around this time. It might've been this summer that's about to happen in 88, but I was really embarrassed and went in at this point, knew enough from Sassy that I can just take care of it. So I went into my mom's closet and got some pads and I was using a pad and then I was flushing it. You know, I didn't want to get toxic shock syndrome from a pad perhaps. And so I would just finish the pad and flush it. And then finish the pad and flush it a couple hours later. And then the toilet overflowed and yep. went all over the entire bathroom and my parents' room and the carpet. And it was a real bad mess. It was real bad. And they were like, who clogged the toilet? What's happening? And I was like, I don't know. That's crazy. What could have happened? And then.
But the pads didn't come back up. They were floating around like some sort of terrible game of Battleship.
It's a bloody war, a bloody battle. I don't know. I don't know because I hid in my room because I knew I was in trouble. So I hid in my room until first my mom came by and said, you know, you don't flush them. And I left you some under the bathroom near your room. And that was it. That was how she knew. And then my dad opened the door and he said, so I guess you've learned that you're not supposed to flush your pads. And I said, yes. And he said, you need to save them in a box and you keep them. And then one day when you go through menopause, you open up this box and hold them to your face and say, I used to be so young. And I said, get out. Get out of my room.
Wow. And then we have our first Sassy Club. Sassy Club was their little curated collection of products that you could call in and buy directly from them. It's like a mini catalog, and we have a story about that in our next episode. Dave, you wanted us to go through and talk about what the one thing was that we wanted to buy from Sassy Club. Yeah, you get to buy one thing.
You get to buy one thing from Sassy Club. What would it be? Because mine is definitely the Jake Busey Fido Dido ripoff shirt.
Yep.
And pants.
Uh-huh. Okay, mine is the thermos that looks like a little stubby pencil. Mm-hmm. I think that's the cutest one.
Mine is the LCD watch that is a great conversation piece. You get two colorful faces, a flamingo nestled in palm trees, and a crocodile hanging out on a beach chair, and they snap on and off. It's $9.98.
Yeah. What I'm not buying is the bracelet full of sunscreen. That seems like a terrible idea.
I had that.
Shut
I
up.
I had it. No, I genuinely. I was a Sassy Club member. I had my card, the friendship bracelets, and I had the bracelet full of sunscreen, and it does one day open up and get everywhere in your purse and your lap.
So now let's get into the magazine-y stuff. We have first Diary. This is the editor's letter by Jane, at least at this stage. Doesn't start out great in that it's titled How, and here is why. Quote, we're all still trying to figure out what editor-in-chief means. Neil thinks I should wear an Indian headdress and walk around saying how. Get it? Yeah, stop. This is not cute. Boo. Yikers. So let's move past that. This diary tells us a lot about Jane Pratt, our editor-in-chief, like that she's not totally confident in her authority yet, bribing people with snacks to come to meetings. I learned from the Sassy book, she was like younger than a lot of the other staffers, despite being in charge of everything. Their office location is not very glam. They're in Times Square, a pre-cleaned up by Rudy Giuliani Times Square, so not cute. And her relationship to other staff members who all seem like they have a lot of fun making the magazine together. So yeah, other than the bad lead, it's a good opener for the issue, I think.
Just read it first. I do remember that it felt like the letter that came with the package and like the card that mm-hmm. was in the present. Horrible beginning aside, it did immediately set that thing of, hey, this is our magazine and here's our little thing for you. I like that.
Yep.
So then we have Save What, and this is for sure just a bunch of fake, just fake letters. They're fake letters, and it's okay. It's their mm-hmm. first one. They're trying to say, you can write in, and we'll publish your stuff. Here's some things we got. We love letters.
Right? Yep.
And it's just basically the Sassy agenda mm-hmm. spelled out in these letters. So the first one is, you know, I'm tired of looking at two skinny models. And so they're like, that's awesome. That was anonymous. Mm-hmm. And then the next one was, this one's kind of rude, but it's like, I think guys are wimps, but what it does is say like, how come they always make us have to do the breaking up? And mm-hmm. then when they break up, they treat us like crap. Like I think, but I've only known one guy who is any good. And they wrote back like, who is he? Let us know.
Yeah.
Start a pen palness.
But you missed the best part of that, which is why do they do that and then try to get into the good books with their older, more beautiful sisters?
Yeah. That was
I think Neil wrote this one.
You think?
Yeah. The next one is about, it just says homosexuals. And Lisa is saying she'd like to express her disbelief and disgust with most people in the world. Everyone is so narrow-minded, especially toward homosexuals and lesbians. Don't you realize that it is their decision and we have no right to criticize their sexual preference? And then this sentence, they are just as human as everyone else. It should not be treated Lisa. Differently. It's like, poor Lisa. Yeah. I was like, that's exactly what I wrote. Thanks, Lisa. Yeah. Like, great.
What
nice
an ally.
Work on that one. Yeah. Great. Good job. The next one's just like, hey, I have great parents. Bye. Signed lover of life in the world.
Yeah.
I don't even. Right. That one is amazing. And mm-hmm. then this next one is someone asking if you could do a story or an interview with Alyssa Milano. And also run posters of her and Kirk Cameron. And then Jane writes, any other votes? And I feel like this was a contentious situation that was happening about what kind of teen magazine this would be. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to get reader feedback of whether or not Alyssa and Kirk were going to be all over this place or if we were going to get to keep Robert Downey Jr. and Justine Bateman.
Right. Well, they do eventually profile Alyssa Milano, and I think no one is very happy about it, but we'll get to it.
Plus, what the masses want is more Keith Coogan.
And... I think you mean Kevin Coogan, and more Mac. Mac by the barrel full. Finally, we have Inside Out. This is just a little featurette on the inside back cover, which is just a little interesting tidbit about the magazine and what they did this month. And in this case, it's the girl who named Sassy. And the story goes... Some male publishing executive told his 13-year-old daughter what a hard time his team was having naming the magazine, and she suggested Sassy. And alts that were floating around at that time were apparently Chloe, Dawn, Amy, She, Me, and D, as in D-E-E. So, I mean, yes, Sassy's better than all of those. Wow. There's a picture of her. Her name is Sarah Walker. Her hair looks so modern to me, like it's the hair I've been trying to achieve my whole life. It's the hair that Ted's daughter has in Bill and Ted Save the World, basically.
Yeah, it is your dream hair. It is your dream hair. And
yeah.
Don't you think this should have been the cover?
Yes.
You put Sassy over her head right there. That yes. is a good Sassy cover.
It really is. It's Sarah Walker, no H, such a common name. I wasn't able to track her down looking her up online. So if you are her or know her, please call 720 Sassy Go. Let us know what happened in your life after you named the magazine, because I would love to know. Next time. time. We did not want to rush your calls and emails, so we're moving those into their own episode in which the three of us will also do the March 1988 quiz and find out how competitive we all are. And that will be in your podcast feed Friday. For my plug this week, I swear I don't entirely live in 1990s house, but I did review CBS's new show Clarice, a series sequel to The Silence of the Lambs, which takes place in 1993. That is at vanityfair.com, and we will link it in the show notes.
For my plug this week is a song that showed up on my Discover Weekly on Spotify. It is my current pandemic jam. It's by Lola Wolf. It's called Whole House. Lola Wolf is a Zoe Kravitz-fronted band. Put it on your running mix or if you're in the background when you're angrily doing laundry or whenever you want to make being grounded a little more fun. You can follow Tara on Twitter or Instagram at Tara Ariano. You can follow me on Twitter at Pamela Ribbon. You can follow the show on both Twitter and Instagram at Listen to Sassy. Please rate and review us on the podcast app of your choice to help other listeners find us.
You can also call us. Our hotline is 720-SASSY-GO. Leave us a voicemail about the show or the magazine, and we may play it in a future episode, like Friday. Or you can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and show notes on our website, listentosassy.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Page 116 and 117 is 12 hits for a penny. Here it is. You can look. So if you have a tape-to-tape cassette recorder, you can get your 12, record them all, say you're not satisfied, send them back, done. Do wow. it again at the next house.
Damn.
Get out! Get out of my room!
Got the whole closet, but I only wear one top. Black. But I only wear